Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
This is Frank on Target, and we're on WVFF Red Brick Patriot Radio, 97.7 FM. I'm sitting here with Airgun Angie, and we're going to be talking about getting her out into the woods and getting her to her stand this morning, and how she feels so helpless walking out to her stand with her air rifle. So, because there's lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Thanks for making fun of me.
I'm teasing. I'm poking fun at you. I got to poke fun at you because you're shooting deer right out from under me.
Maybe you're shooting them out from under me.
Nah, I don't shoot no deer. we're sitting here and it's a couple of weeks before deer season opens here in South Carolina. And talking about a couple of different things, and I was reminiscing about up north, all the bears I had. And Angie was expressing that she's kind of cautious when she's walking into her stand because she's concerned about bears and panthers. And I think the real thing you should be worried about is some nasty pigs.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Like, there's pigs in some areas, but then there's absolutely none in others. Like, where my deer stand is on the power line, there's no sign of pig around that area at all, and I've never heard of pigs being there. But Jacksonboro Road, which is not that far really, there's pigs all over. But it just depends on really water source. If there's a lot of water, the pigs are going to be there. And where I'm at with the deer stand, there's not a lot of water there.
Have you seen anything that in and around your stand that, you know, there's to be concerned about?
As far as lions, tigers, and bears?
Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. Yeah, yeah.
No, but they don't leave tracks and stuff, especially in that...
What are they, phantoms?
They are.
Oh.
Especially in that pine straw. It's not dirt. It's just thick pine straw. There's no tracks in pine straw.
You know, I'm going to tell you the God's honest truth. I don't have any muddy areas either. And it's either pine straw or sweet gum that I cut down. And, not going to see too much tracks. But you said you've seen, or you've had friends who've seen, or...
I had a friend here in Cottageville who had a game cam up in her yard because she's got a farm. She had all kinds of animals in there. And she actually got a mountain lion on camera coming in and stealing her ducks and chickens. She tried to call somebody and tell them that she had, and she showed them the picture, and they tried to convince her it was not a mountain lion, but it was obviously a mountain lion. And then there was another lady somewhere near Daniels Island. My daughter used to have her little farm, so she'd buy chickens and rabbits from all over the place, and we were on another rabbit or chicken adventure, and we met the lady, and she had had black panthers come in there and take her livestock. There are things like that around here, so the thought of going in the woods by myself.
Yeah.
It's a little unnerving sometimes.
Well, listen, they're probably more afraid of you than you are of them.
Oh, I'm sure, but who knows when a brave one's going to come along.
No, I don't brave one. Right, listen, Angie Rabbit. Angie Rabbit. What should I have for dinner tonight? I think I'll go with the rabbit, you know?
Yeah, but if there's not a rabbit, then there's just an Angie.
Whoa, Angie. There's always rabbits. I got to tell you, rabbits and squirrels. Eating my corn, little damn squirrels. Did you know an ear of corn could climb a tree?
Yep.
Yeah. I can't see the squirrel. I could just see the corn going up the tree. I mean, it's nuts. But my brother just sent me a picture last week of, I don't know. I'd have to look at my phone. Either a panther or a mountain lion, and I gotta tell you, you look at a picture of a trail cam, and it's you have trouble with the perspective. I told him it looked like a domestic cat, you know, just, but you know, and it
Where's
just
your brother?
He's in Georgia. But he has a lot of game around this house. I mean, he has a lot of deer and, you know, but I still can't buy into it that readily. This panther stuff. I just don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you got to show me, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm just going to go knowing that it's a possibility, and I don't want to, you know, my husband, when I first met him, I didn't hunt or shoot guns or anything for a little while, and then when I did start, he was so excited, and now all the things that he does for me, sometimes he's like, I wish I would have never.
Is he the enabler?
Sort of, I mean. I do walk into my deer stand by myself now. I carry my pistol, and I just pray that I'll use it properly instead of throwing it. And I might want to be one of those stupid girls in a horror movie and throw the gun at her. You never know how you're going to respond until you're in that moment. So, but he helps build stands. He helps put corn out when I can't. I mean, he does help me a lot. So
I'm glad. I mean,
I wouldn't call him an enabler, but
he's an enabler. and listen, an enabler is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm just looking for this picture of this damn feline character that my brother sent me, and I can't find it. But anyway, if these critters are around, these big cats, they're pretty few and far in between. But then again, by nature, they're pretty stealth and crafty, so they're not gonna come and knock on your door and say I'm here.
Right.
You putting trail cams out this year?
I haven't yet. I was actually leaning towards not Carolina Panthers. Yeah. See?
Oh, there you go.
There is a reason.
There you go.
There is a reason.
Yeah, you were thinking of not putting trail cams out?
I was gonna go without it because I've had a lot of people talk to me about it, and they're like, they think trail cameras are cheating, and how much more of a thrill it is to go in there not knowing what's coming and being surprised. So I was like, maybe I'll try that. But my husband's like, no, you got to put a camera up. I want to know what's coming in there and when.
Yeah, that's what you call it. That's, yeah, no. I like the cameras. Reason being is the anticipation. You know, it's just like it gets you fired up. You say, oh shit, that was there last night. Where are you? You know, or
it gets you pissed off because that was there last night and I sat here for 4 hours and saw nothing.
No. I got to tell you what I'm thinking of doing. Well, I'm probably going to put trail cams out. Probably going to put them out. But somebody gave me a target cam.
A target cam?
Yeah. We use them for shooting long range. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're shooting 800, 1,000 yards,
yeah, you don't want to.
How do you check? I mean, it's hard to see a bullet hole, even with, you know, with a 40 pound scope, it's hard, you know. So what you do is you take a target cam, and it's a camera, and you focus it on the target, and it brings it into like a couple of feet, you know, and then that camera transmits back to the 1,000 yards or 800 yards.
So are you going to put it by your corn pile?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I'm not going to put it by the corn pile. I'm going to put it on, I'll probably move it around at different paths, you know, game trails, mm-hmm, coming into the corn pile, so that if I'm looking at the, what do you call it, if I'm looking at the target cam, I'll know that the deer are coming minutes before they get there.
Oh, you're like really, really cheating.
Right? Now, because watch, and if you tell me that this doesn't happen to you, I'll know that you're fibbing to me.
It doesn't happen.
you ever have deer sneak up on you?
Oh, yeah.
Your attention goes, to somewhere. You'll look at something on your left.
Or you just go.
And by the time you swivel your head back to look at something on your right, there's a deer standing there. He's standing there. Looks like he's been there for a week.
Yep.
You know? And that's the thing that really drives me crazy is because, you know, I hate to get surprised.
That's why I'm a paranoid hunter. I don't hunt well with my husband. Not to knock him. He does just fine on his own. But he can't sit still. He rubs his pants and he's moving all over the place and I'm over there going, "Stop it! Be quiet! Hold still!" It drives me nuts, so we don't hunt together. We do not hunt together.
I gotta tell you something crazy though. This is I've been hunting all my life. All right. I probably got, I don't know, in excess of 60 years of hunting under my belt. All right. Since I'm a little kid. And I only know one thing. These damn animals, the only thing that they see is motion. All right. But motion that they identify as danger. When I was smoking cigarettes, I'd be in a tree stand, high though, like 15 feet. I'd be smoking a cigarette. I'd smoke a cigarette. I used to shoot an Ithaca Deer Slayer, which is it's a purpose-built shotgun that shoots rifle slugs, because that's all we were allowed to shoot. This will blow you away. I'd have a cigarette in my left hand on the fore end of the gun, put the gun up and shoot a deer. They don't know from the smell, you know. All right, now again, I'm high, and maybe the smell is going somewhere else.
The smoke rises.
Yeah. But I mean, I've shot deer with a cigarette in my hand. But I'm convinced that it's the motion. It's the motion. If you ever hunt with the bow, you have to recognize it brings trajectory to an extreme because of the trajectory of the bow is like a rainbow, you know. And if you have with a rifle, if you're 15, 20 feet in the air and your bullet is going to drop the horizontal distance from your stand to your target, not the hypotenuse, say the angle,
right,
which is longer. So you have to take that to an extreme when you're shooting the bow, and you're gonna actually get the arrow to drop the horizontal distance, not the hypotenuse distance from your up in your stand. All right, anyway. So for that reason, I would never, ever, ever, when I'm bow hunting, get 15, 20 feet off the ground. Just because I don't like doing that calculation. I don't think it's necessary. I would just get my feet six to eight feet off the ground. That's as high as I'd put my stand. And as long as you don't move your feet or make noise, I used to take that burlap camo and put it around the rail of the stand. So even if my feet did move, it's not seen behind that camo. And that's what I'm convinced that they see. So.
Well, they have good noses too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but now noses. Keep one thing in mind. They know fear, and noise will trigger that fear. But just think, I mean, you know, we live in the country, but it's a pretty much, you know, there's people around. Mm-hmm. They smell a lot of different things. They identify noise as danger, but do they identify smell as danger too?
I think so. I mean, I've been, like, I go to the hog stand, and there's deer that come in there, and they'll put their nose up, they'll smell, and then they'll blow and take off. they smell me. And I think it's just like they know what the normal smells are around there, and now there's this new one in here. I'm not sticking around for this. So, yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes they do recognize dangerous smells.
Yeah. Do you ever mask? You ever mask your scent?
I have, but I really haven't seen a whole lot of success with or without. I mean, it's, I mean, I haven't seen a difference. I haven't, like, I've sprayed scent, had the same thing happen. So, I really don't. I mean, I don't go out there, like, I don't know, I dirty, sweaty. I think there's a difference between clean sweat and dirty sweat. So, I don't go out there dirty, sweaty.
I don't know. I don't know if they identify that. I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know. I have a secret.
Go ahead. Are we telling us?
I pray. I ask the Lord to hide the deer. I mean, hide me from the deer in whatever sense there is.
Yeah, that works.
So, and
that works.
Not just deer, but anything I'm hunting.
Yeah, yeah. I used to, you know, if I was hunting in the fall after the apple season, I would always grab a couple apples.
See, I've heard that too. I've had people tell me, like, later in the season when the bucks start hiding out longer and they don't come out until late, you, like, cut apples up in slices and hang them on bushes on
the trail. All right, here's the deal. I'd throw a couple apples in my pocket. Mm-hmm. You always have a knife with you. I'd be in the tree, and I'd quarter up the apple, take a bite, take what's left of the apple, and rub it on the bark of the tree. You can, it gets strong.
So you're talking about for like a scent cover up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get to get a bite of the apple, you get to cover up the scent, and then what apple you have left, you throw out in front of you. So now you just created some kind of a scent blocker at your stand. You're putting more scent out away from you. So now you have a whole bunch of apple scent that, man, they ain't going to smell you worth a shit. Now, I got to tell you something crazy, though. Squirrels. I've had squirrels attack that tree where I scraped that apple on that tree. All right? I've had dopey squirrels sniff my broadhead. I don't know what the hell the broadhead smelled like. It didn't smell like apple.
That was somebody's pet at one point.
Yeah. But it was, what do you call it? I mean, I'd have squirrels in the stand with me. I guess if I have squirrels in the stand with me, I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
But
that's the cool thing about hunting. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. It's an adventure every time you go.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an adventure with my slingshot this year. when somebody's dogs come through my...
I'll tell my dogs not to go see.
Well, listen, they're just gonna have a little red spot on their butt, you know, when they get hit with a clay pellet, you know. That's it. That's about it. And maybe those damn squirrels. Yeah, I got to tell you something crazy. It hasn't happened to me here in South Carolina yet, but I could see it happening. And it doesn't happen with cob corn as much as shelled corn. I've had damn turkeys come into my corn.
Oh yeah, I've seen a lot of turkeys.
And that's who you want to hit with the slingshot too. You want to get them the hell out of there.
I don't know. I like watching turkeys because I like listening to them because I turkey hunt. So
yeah, all right.
When I listen to them, I watch their behavior and stuff. They can eat my corn. I'm fine with that. I don't like the squirrels eating my corn, but the turkeys are good.
Well, the truth of the matter, you know, now that you mention it, I've had turkeys and deer in the corn at the same time.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So I guess the turkeys give them a sense of...
comfort, like the bear.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather have a turkey than a bear, promise.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, one of the best, oh my. You say you like sitting in the woods and watching what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, yeah, you want to shoot a deer, but you also want to experience everything else that's going on. I used to hunt on the edge of this pond. And we have red fox up north. I used to have these little red fox, and they'd be out there. And they'd have ducks on the pond. You know, ducks would land on the pond. And this red fox, young one, young, he'd go out there. I'd watch him stalk those ducks on the pond for, had to be 45 minutes. 45 minutes. He finally gets out there. And they're not stupid. He spooked them. They flew away. So then he comes back. Now, I mean, listen, hey, you know what? He thought that was lunch or dinner. Comes back. Goes back. Starts, what do you call it? Starts foraging voles underneath, you know, at the base of a tree, mm-hmm. you know, where all the little mice and the voles are and stuff like that.
I wanted a duck, but I'll settle for this.
Yeah. It's not going to be a feast, but, you know, it'll get me by, you know, that kind of thing. But they're, what do you call it? I just love watching game. It's no matter what it is, even. And it's even how they interact, you know, how game interacts with other game.
Because I think some birds warn the deer that you're there.
Oh.
Some birds are like, yeah, go ahead and kill them. I don't care about them. But other birds are.
Oh no! That's that's what do you call it? That's what do you call it? That's 101.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When I was a kid, there'd be a you know, you see crows roosting somewhere. And my old man would say, do not spook those crows.
Yeah.
Because once you spook those crows, that's like an alarm system in the woods. You know, so everybody's ears go up. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big thing. But I hate crows.
Yeah, they're pretty annoying.
Yeah, they you know, they're good air gun targets, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But,
Well, I'm going to be shooting a different rifle this year.
What are you going to shoot this year?
I've got a Ruger Hawkeye 7mm 08, so it's going to be my first time hunting.
Where's the air rifle?
I'm going to be shooting the hammer, too.
Oh, all right.
Mix it up a little bit, but I've got an article that I'm going to
Oh, that's right. You're doing an article on the 7mm
08. For Women's Outdoor News. So, yeah, it's... I kind of like taking new rifles in. I didn't used to. I used to like to stick to the same one all the time, but if I take them to the range and... They're grouping really well. Things are going. The velocity's good. I'm confident that it's going to take out what I'm after. Then it's kind of cool to take a new one in there and see what it can do.
That's funny that you should say that, because I had mentioned to you earlier, last year's deer rifle I put on the side.
Yeah.
All right. I can justify having that rifle. You know, you have to justify all the crap that you own. You know, I can justify having that rifle. Yeah, I've killed deer with that. And the irony is that I was shooting that rifle competitively, and it had a 24-inch barrel. And it's a Wildcat cartridge, 6mm AR. So I found another class that I can shoot that gun in, but it'd have to, the maximum length on the barrel can be 20 inches. So I had to cut that barrel to 20 inches. So I was going to shoot that other class. I never did it. So I took that gun, now it's a 20-inch gun, and it's got a good scope on it. And I'd loaded some game ammunition, and I hunted with it. I hunted with it all last year. It's what do you call it? It's a tack driver. It's a little bit heavy, but it's not like I'm walking around carrying the gun all the time. And
what's the farthest distance you'd shoot with that one, with a 20-inch barrel?
I don't know. How far?
That's what I'm asking you.
Well,
I would
compete with it at 800 yards.
Oh, wow.
All right. 300 yards is a chip shot.
Wow.
All right. So, but I'm hunting. When I'm hunting, I'm shooting 50, 60 yards, maybe.
Right. That's a long shot for a short barrel.
Well, no. The barrel has nothing to do with it. Barrel, only thing it influences, doesn't influence the accuracy, only influences the velocity.
Well, the velocity influences the accuracy.
No. Well, no. Velocity influences the trajectory.
Okay.
Not the accuracy. accuracy is putting the bullets one on top of one another. You can do that just as well with a 20-inch barrel as you can with a 24-inch barrel.
At that far of a distance, though, that's crazy. You said 800
yards? 800. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You shoot 800 yards. The problem with shooting 800 yards, and the reason that you need velocity at 800 yards, and this rifle will maintain that velocity, is you don't want that bullet to go subsonic. When the bullet goes supersonic to subsonic, crazy shit happens. It's like, you know, you ever see somebody walking into another dimension, yeah. You know, like that? Well, yeah, the bullet gets kind of wonky. Mm-hmm. It might actually yaw a little bit when it passes that threshold. But as long as you maintain supersonic velocity out there, the accuracy is the same. And we're shooting, believe it or not, if I'm not shooting, if the gun isn't capable of a half MOA, I'm concerned. And a half MOA at 800 yards is 4 inches. So you got to shoot a 4-inch group at 800. Can you hold a 4-inch group at 800? That depends on the individual. But again, that's why when I'm shooting a 50, 60 yards, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I use a velocity to stop that animal in its tracks. They never know what hit them. It's an ethical harvest.
You said you shoot high shoulder. Is that what you
said? Yeah, I'll shoot high shoulder.
Yeah.
I'll shoot high shoulder. High shoulder gives me a couple of things. It gives me vitals, number one. And it also... I can hit a nerve bundle.
Yeah, that they, you know,
that they
fall,
yeah, that they go right down. I have taken at 35, 40 yards, I've taken headshots. But it's crazy because when you start getting that close, different things happen. You sight a rifle in at 100 yards. Well. As you get to 25 yards, it's going to shoot a little different.
Right.
Reason being is because you have the center line of the scope versus the center line of the bore, and that might be an inch and a half, 2 inches. So if you're taking a headshot, you have to know at 25 yards, you have to know where that bullet's going to be at 25 yards. And
right.
And if you'd left like hell, I'll bring a rifle in here next week or next time you're here. I have a whole dope sheet. Blue painter's tape is the greatest thing in the world. It's the greatest thing in the world because I actually put blue painter's tape on the rifle, and actually, you know, it's a trajectory shot. You know, so if I'm shooting 25, I know that I'm going to shoot an inch and a half low.
Right.
You know. So I gotta pick that point of impact up an inch and a half. So it's all there. It's on the rifle, and then again, you know, we live in America, and abundance is one of our problems. So you have a couple of different rifles, and this one. Oh, all right. Where's this one shooting? I have to look at the dope sheet on it, you know.
Right.
And then I even complicated even farther. I was shooting a 308. And I those little elastic things you put on the stock that you can put your ammunition in.
Yes.
Well, I have some ammunition with X's across the head stamp, and some the head stamp is clean, and the ones with the X's are subsonic. So I got a can on the 308, and if I want to be quiet, I just got to know where the bullet's going to go. So if I pick up one of those black bullets, it's a different point of impact.
Yeah.
So, yes, but subsonic 308 is as quiet as your air rifle.
That's cool.
But your rifles probably shoots better. Because I'm not happy with the accuracy of the subsonic 308s.
Yeah.
I can shoot an inch at 50 yards, which is
pretty much what, I mean, with the hammer, it's an inch to 2 inches at 50 yards.
No, then they're about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the 308 subsonic is movie quiet. I mean, it's like, you want to hear it again? You know, it's really nuts. But is that what you get about the hammer, about an inch at 50?
An inch and a half, between an inch and 2 inches at 50.
Yeah.
The carbine, there's the carbine and there's the standard one. The standard one is a little better. It's got a longer barrel.
Yeah.
And you can get about an inch at 50. But the carbine, about an inch and a half, 2 inches at 50.
7mm 08, you're going to love.
Yeah, I haven't shot it yet. But
I'm going to tell you something.
That Ruger Hawkeye, it's gorgeous and it's so small and
I'm
going to
tell you something. 7mm 08 is an excellent, excellent cartridge. It's an excellent cartridge. 7mm, I mean, first of all, it's the recoil is almost like three quarters or half of what a 308 is.
How would you compare it to a 243? Because 243 to me was like when I shot the first Ruger American Gen 2 243, I thought this is. Like
I'd say the 7mm 08 is about the same or just a tad more recoil than the 243. Because it's the bullet weight is what really generates the recoil. I shoot 100 grains.
I think these are 95 grain bullets.
In the 7mm only, that's light. That's light.
Maybe I'm getting them mixed up.
Yeah, no, I think that you probably shoot about 120s.
I have to let you know.
Yeah. But it's not going to be anything that's going to be uncomfortable. And
well, I like to try them out because usually what Women's Outdoor News does is they send me a list of guns that I get to choose from and then what they're rifled in. So I get to choose what they're rifled in. I'm like, oh, I've never shot this one before. Okay, I'll check this one.
7mm 08 is good. It's excellent. Excellent cartridge. It doesn't beat you up. The 7mm bullets, for some reason, I mean, 7mm bullets are ballistically are very superior to any. Well, maybe they're even a little better than 6mm. Certainly better than 30 caliber.
The last three guns that I've chose, I chose 6.5 Creedmoor. That was a Franke, and then I the 243, the Ruger American Gen 2, and then the 7mm 08. And
that's a Ruger American as well?
The 7mm 08?
Yeah.
It's a Ruger Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye.
Yeah. It's a little different. It's really pretty, though. It's laminated stock and super light, compact. I was going to use it as my Coyote gun, but I can't get the ATN optic to fit on it. So without spending some money for a new rail, so I'm not going to do that. But
well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to put... There's a guy that comes in here, and I know, and he works for Tally Rings, and he's told me he's working on an adapter from the Ruger rings to the Picatinny rail. But the killer is going to be that anytime you put an adapter on like that, you get a little extra height.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you're going to get, you know, how your cheek weld is going to end up being. If you put
I'm kind of used to, look, the air guns, they have to have higher rings on
yes.
them because to allow for the magazines.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of used to, and not all air guns have the adjustable cheek piece, so I'm kind of used to just kind of shooting wherever it rests.
I'm going to tell you something. I got all kinds of stuff that, you know, like elastic stuff and stick-on stuff and stuff like that to increase the height of the cone because... That I struggle. I mean, I got a gangly neck, you know. I struggle with scope height.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I really do. And it has to be right. It has to be right, but...
Well, you've been in competitions and stuff where, like, things have to be just...
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't. I'm
yeah, or you don't want to... But you're gonna, if you're comfortable, you're gonna shoot better. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm comfortable with just doing.
Well, if you can lift your head up for the shot, that's great. The thing that used to kill me was, I did that for a string of 20 rounds, and your neck gets tired.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go and you got another 20 after that, and then, you know, so you're shooting 60 rounds in total, and if you're not in a comfortable position, it really kind of wears at you. But if you can handle it, that's great. But the 7mm weight, you're gonna love the shit out of it.
I can't wait to try it. I just wish I had a youngin to take with me or something.
Well, I really carry the gun.
No.
Carry the gun? You don't want to carry the gun?
No, to take them hunting.
Oh, all right.
That's why I like these smaller rounds. Not smaller, but less recoil rounds, because I like introducing people to the sport.
Where are you going to be hunting with the 7mm only?
Probably in my tree stand.
All right. Let me tell you something. That's more gun than you ever need in South Carolina for deer.
Hopefully you'll get to hear it.
Yes.
And you'll be, oh, she got one.
Yeah. What do you call it? These 7mm 08 is a lot of gun. I mean, a lot of gun for these size deer.
Yeah.
But they're excellent. Excellent. Don't be afraid. If you get a choice of a lighter bullet, I mean, I'm not saying shoot a varmint bullet, but a lighter medium game bullet, take it. Take it, because they're going to, what do you call it? These deer just crush. They just...
Well, like the 6.5 Creedmoor, I like checking out the entrance and exit wounds on the animals to see what kind of damage the bullets do. And the 6.5 Creedmoor was like, you could barely find it. It was so tiny. The entrance hole, it was so tiny. And then the 243, it's a little easier to find. So I can't wait to see what the...
6.5 Creedmoor is 6.5mm. 243 is 6mm. So you would think that the 6mm bullet would be, the entrance hole would be smaller than the 6.5.
The 6.5, it was so hard to find.
How were the exit wounds?
I guess about normal, like any other exit wound. I didn't see much difference in the exit wound. It's the entrance that I would usually look at.
Exit wound is the, what do you call it? Is the important one, you know?
It's where it shows the expansion and everything.
Well, it's not only that, it's where all the bleeding is going to occur.
Yeah.
You know? And I got to tell you something. I've shot bullets that they were 30 caliber, 150 grain, but they were nozzler ballistic tips. They actually re-engineered the bullet, because the exit wounds were so devastating.
Yeah.
There was too much. The bullets were too light. And if you drove them fast, they'd go all the way through, but they'd blow. I had exit wounds that you could put your hand in, which is not what I want, because, I lost a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Good thing that the shots, you know, the shots were vital, you know, vitals, there wasn't a lot of meat. But I mean, if you take a high shot and you, what do you call it, and you can you imagine taking out a set of back straps with that? Mm-hmm. I'd be mad. You know,
thinking back to the exit wound on the 6.5, I was thinking back to a couple of deer. One my daughter shot. The other one was the buck that the boy I took, he shot.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't find any blood on that buck. And when we did find the buck, there wasn't much of it. It was tiny. There wasn't much of an exit wound. So it's just a fast round.
That was the Creedmoor?
Mm-hmm. It's a fast round. Yeah. It just goes straight through and doesn't really...
Well, that's the other thing. And that's why I was saying shoot a lighter bullet. Because, I mean, bullet weight and bullet construction go pretty much hand in hand.
Right.
All right? Which, it's a bad rule of thumb to accept, because... You don't know how the manufacturer constructed the bullet, but in general, bullet weight and bullet construction go hand in hand. That Creedmoor, man, that gun is, that the Creedmoor is so fast that you could put that bullet right through on a pass through with in light game like we have here. You know, the deer here are pretty light. You could put that bullet right through and never get any expansion.
Yeah, I'm sure it depends on where it hits.
You're
just getting like soft tissue, or you're hitting bone.
If you take soft tissue, I'm sure that Creedmoor go right through. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you something crazy. I shot a deer one time. I shot a tree, and the deer was behind the tree. Bullet went right through the tree and hit the deer, knocked the deer down.
What kind of tree was it?
A little 4-inch pine tree that I didn't see in the scope. All right? I didn't see it in the scope.
Huh.
You know, and didn't kill the deer.
Oh, no.
Did not kill the deer. Knocked the deer down. Deer got up. No blood, walked away. Probably, it was probably like, you know, like hitting him with a bowling ball.
Piece of bark flew off the other side and hit him.
Oh, yeah. I had a, what do you call it? I had about 3-inch circle of bark come off this side of the tree. I mean, it really destroyed the tree.
Hmm.
But the deer got hit with the wood and what was left of the bullet.
Huh.
And you know? I mean, I felt like a real jerk. But I was shooting. I was in the woods. They were in the cut. And when I looked through the scope, I didn't see that little pine tree.
It's amazing what we miss when we're excited. It really is. When we're amped up, it's
amazing what we miss. How about an armadillo at about 25 feet, right?
Well, the closer shots are the tougher ones. They really are.
Yeah, I mean, what do you call it? It's madness. I'm out walking the dog, and Kimber says, "Oh, Frank, there's an armadillo over there," and we wage war on armadillos. So I mean, you know, I give her that pound my chest. No worry, honey, I'm the man. I'm gonna take care of this. So I pull out a damn handgun, and at 25 feet, I miss an armadillo. All right, I got him the second shot, but I mean, you know, two rounds of defense.
It was that whole "I got this" attitude.
Yeah, I got this. I got this covered. I'll take care of that armadillo. and I didn't lead him the first time and shot right behind him.
Yeah, that's one thing I try to steer clear from. Was, "I got this." That's why I'm not 100% confident going into the woods that I'm going to use whatever protection I have properly.
You'll be fine.
I don't got this.
You'll be fine. So you ready for the season?
I am.
Are you?
I am.
I'm ready.
I'm going to be out of town a lot, but I'm going to be there as much as possible.
I'm ready. The rifle is ready. I got to go just put some corn out.
I still have to scope my rifle and sight it in.
Well.
So I guess I'm not ready. That was a lie. I'm not ready, Frank. I'm not ready.
Where are you going to shoot that what do you call it, that 7mm 08?
There's a range in Cottageville. So, I know. I was kind of surprised to find it too, but it's where is it? Off of Jenkins Club Road. There's a gun range back there. So I
thought. Off where?
Jenkins Club. It's like back.
Jenkins Club.
Yeah. Back in there. So I've talked to the guy and made arrangements to be able to go there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's much better than what the arrangements we have at the hunting club. The hunting club, the backstop is a big pine tree, and that's it. So I would get up really, really close to the tree, make sure my shot hits the tree, and back up about 10 yards every time to make sure my shot stays on that tree. Because behind the tree is swamp and river, and those bullets will go far.
All right, just you go there, and if you have a problem, I belong to Palmetto Gun Club, 25 and 50, 100, 200, and 800.
Okay.
So...
It's, I don't
need the 800. Well, no. The thing is, the 25. The 25 has a berm that's 30 foot high. So, you know, you get on the paper at 25, and we have the technology. We have the technology right here in this phone that we put a zero in at 25, and it'll tell you where you're going to be at 100. You take your next shot at 100. And you'd be where you're supposed to be. So that's a good thing. It saves a lot of ammunition.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, shoot over the chronograph, and we can learn a lot of things at once. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I gotta go. I gotta go brush hog again, a little more. I gotta go get some corn.
I should have told you. Just put shell corn out. Shell corn's better than cob corn, Frank.
You're trying to give me a curve here. Well, at least the squirrels, you know, squirrels won't be walking away with cobs of corn.
For those of you guys that don't know, Frank and I hunt pretty close to one another.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we hunt on.
I'm trying to steer
one side.
My
we have a blacktop road that's 10 feet wide between where she hunts and I hunt, but
yep. She's
deeper in the woods and she's in a stand. She's in a stand.
Yep.
I'm on top of a Connex box.
Well, that's a cool stand. I'd do that.
I know. On top of a Connex box, and I got a whole bunch of trimming to do up there too. But that's that. And Angie, you're going away, right?
I am for a couple weeks.
Beginning of the deer season?
Yes.
All right. Hey, talk to Jonathan, the engineer over there. John, I won't see you during the deer season because I'll be in the woods while Angie's out of town. It gives me an opportunity to shoot that deer right from under her.
I have a backup. I have two backups, Frank. So if I'm not there, no, I'm hoping they won't hunt until after I get back and hunt myself first.
Well, let's wrap this one up. And Angie, I thank you again for coming and keeping me company here and talking about all the hunting stuff that we're going to do this year.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. And it's nice that you're shooting a centerfire rifle this year.
Yeah, I'll be shooting both. We mixing it up.
Yeah, well, you know what? Shoot that centerfire rifle. You're going to enjoy the hell out of it. 7mm all weight. It's nice. All right, we're going to say goodbye, and this is Frank. And we're on WVFF. That's Red Brick Patriot Radio, 97.7 FM.
We here at WVFF thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.